Some weeks ago, this congregation was asked to look amongst itself and to consider whether there were some who could serve the welfare of this congregation in the capacity of deacons. And we talked some in some sermons about the role of deacons within a congregation and the qualifications that those who would serve in that capacity must demonstrate. And so based on the things that we considered from the scriptures, the congregation was asked to consider whether or not there were three individuals who could serve in that capacity. It was deemed that there was work that could be done that would require the efforts of three. And so the congregation spent some time in contemplating that and selected Frank Ventura and Stan Doerr and Heath McMasters to be appointed as deacons. And as was mentioned earlier, today we're acknowledging the fact that that these men were selected to work for the welfare of this congregation in this capacity, and putting them into the responsibility, or putting into their hands the responsibility of the work that that they were selected to perform. And it was thought appropriate to maybe spend our time in study this morning about the work that these three will undertake, that the work that they will join the other men who serve as deacons, and to talk about some about and have our minds focused on some of the things that that would relate to the work that that deacons do for a congregation. I've chosen 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and the 13th verse in particular as the text for our study this morning, mostly because there is a phrase that occurs in that 13th verse that says that and their relatives, heads of their fathers' households, 1,760, very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. This falls in the midst of the ninth chapter, which is really the conclusion of a rather lengthy section of scripture where the genealogies of God's people are outlined. 1 Chronicles and the first nine chapters are not going to find their way into many daily Bible reading programs, simply because they're nine chapters basically filled with names. It begins with Adam, actually, in the first chapter, and continues on for nine chapters. Now, you may think, why in the world would you put nine chapters of names? Of what importance would that be? Well, I would suggest to you it would be of great importance if it was your family, if they were people who were your people. You would find them to be of great importance. And of course, the genealogies among the Jews were of great significance. And when we come to chapter 9 in this text, we are reading about a number of those who function in the capacity of priest. Go back up to verse 2. He says that the first who lived in their possessions in their cities were Israel, the priest, the Levites, and the temple servants. And then you have this list of several of those individuals. And coming down then to the 13th verse, which just concludes, as we've read, with the recognition of the fact that there were many who were heads of their father's households that were deemed to be very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about being able men for the work of the service of the house of God. It has been said in the past that in the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. And in the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. And when we come to the New Testament, we don't really read about and have a great emphasis placed upon a physical temple, but rather we have a great emphasis placed upon a spiritual temple, the Lord's people, the church. But it nonetheless is a temple that still today requires able men for the work of the service of the house of God. I appreciate Jeremy's selections of songs this morning. If you picked up kind of on a theme, we sang about service and about work. And that, in a very particular way, is what these three men are taking up today. A particular, a specific way of working for the service of the house of the Lord. Now, all of us are to work. All of us are to serve. And I trust that we all understand that. But this is a specific way, in a particular way, in which the New Testament scriptures, Paul's writings to both Timothy and to Titus, point out that there's a particular way in which Christians can serve in a capacity that is identified as that of being deacons. And so I ask you this morning to think with me for a few moments about this taking up the responsibility of doing work in the service of the house of God, and specifically about how this is achieved by very able men. Some, when I had the screen up earlier before services began about what the sermon title was, some asked me if I was going to preach about the about recruitment of Marines. Well, no, those are a few good men. Others questioned whether there was even the existence of very able men, and whether this was just a figment of my imagination. But of course, the scriptures make it very plain that there are those who are able men who serve in the capacity of the Lord. But what that requires is, of course, it is commitment. And a lot of times, very frankly, commitment is missing from the lives of those who are in the house of God, those who are among God's people. You've probably heard the story about the chicken and the pig who were traveling along together, and they came upon a sign that said, "Help us feed the poor." And the chicken immediately said, "Well, let's feed the poor with bacon and eggs." And the pig thought for a moment and said, "Well, for you, it only requires a contribution. For me, it requires total commitment." And that is indeed something that the scriptures require of us. Total commitment. And those who are very able men who can serve, back in the days of the chronicler that we've read from, those who could serve in that capacity, the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, were men who had to be men of commitment. And if we talk about the house of the Lord today, those who could serve the welfare and to the benefit of God's people today will have to be individuals of commitment. I want to suggest to you a few things that came to my mind when I thought about this designation of those who are very able men. And I would suggest to those three men who are being appointed today that these are characteristics that are going to be required of your labor, of your character as you undertake this labor as deacons serving this congregation. The first thing that I thought of about these men in the days of the chronicler and those who in any age who would serve to the benefit of the house of God, they have to be men of availability. They have to be men who make themselves available to do the work that needs to be done. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 is a familiar passage that we see the Lord speaking about, well, who can we send to proclaim our message? And rather famously, Isaiah speaks up and he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Now that's a great response on the part of Isaiah, principally because he made himself available. He said, I'm available for your use. I'm available to be put to the task that you have to be done. And it was not a particularly pleasant task, by the way. But nonetheless, Isaiah made himself available for that. We find this kind of characteristic being demonstrated by those who served God and the people of God, who served the house of God in their lifetimes. The Apostle Paul made a statement recorded in Acts chapter 21 and verse 13 when he said, I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul made himself available. He made himself ready. Again, it was not for a particularly enjoyable task, but he gave us and he gave his brethren on that occasion an understanding of the extent to which he was committing himself, the extent to which he made himself available for the Lord's use, and that was, I'm ready even to die if need be. 2 Timothy, we find the same Apostle Paul making a similar kind of statement in chapter 2 and in verse 21. When he says to his young brother Timothy, therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I would suggest to you that Paul is writing here about Christians in general, but it is particularly true that those who would serve as deacons must be individuals who seek to make themselves available to be useful for the master, useful for his purposes. You turn over to Titus, just a couple of pages, in Titus chapter 3 and in verse 1. And there again, Paul says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Again, he's writing and speaking about Christians in general and the need for Christians to be given to this purpose in their lives. But I suggest to you that it is also true in a specific sense of those who would serve as deacons, that they, like Isaiah and like Paul, must be individuals who make themselves available for God's use. May I remind you of this, of some other individuals in the history of God's people who made themselves available? Moses was busy with the flocks in Midian, but he was still available to go and do what God wanted him to do. Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press. Saul was hunting for his father's mules. Elisha was busy plowing. Nehemiah was the cupbearer of the king. James and John were busy mending nets. Matthew was busy collecting taxes. But they all responded to God's call. They all responded to the purpose that God needed to have served in their lifetime. These three men that we mentioned are men that would certainly have other tasks in their lives that they are responsible to fulfill. They would be busy in different enterprises. But they must be men who make themselves available to serve in the capacity of deacons, to serve for service in the house of God, if they are truly going to be deacons to this congregation. if they are too busy to do that, then like the rest of us, if we are too busy to give ourselves to the purposes of God, then we're just too busy. But I think about these men as well as being men of dependability. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul gives a general principle when he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." It is required in stewards. It is the essence of being a steward, Paul says, that you be found faithful, that you be one that can be counted upon. Now, a different word is used here. Again, it's a general principle applied to all who are Christians, all who would be stewards, who would be servants of God. But that's the gist of this word. The steward is one who is a servant in a special capacity. And so those who are deacons, the word itself, meaning minister or steward, must also be found to be faithful. Have you ever wondered why God expects faithfulness out of all of us? Not just deacons, but out of all of us. Why does God expect faithfulness? I suspect that part of the answer is found in the fact that God himself is faithful. God has demonstrated toward us a dependability. He has demonstrated that we can count upon him. And what he wants from us is a similar kind of demonstration. Now, not everybody can be a deacon, but everybody can be faithful. And among those who are faithful, of course, ought to be numbered those who are deacons. And deacons, we need what one fellow said one time, is some of that old-fashioned, God-honoring, Christ-centered, Spirit-taught faithfulness, dependability. It is more than just an inconvenience. It's more than just a mistake. When a charge is put into the hands of someone like a deacon and it is simply ignored and it's neglected, it's not brought to fruition, to completion, it's a shameful waste when such occurs. And I'll tell you, when that often does occur is when congregations or individuals who are appointed as deacons look upon that as being nothing more than a title to be given to some few in recognition of some kind of service or faithfulness. If it's nothing more than a title, then the neglect of the real work and the real need that exists can occur. And I would suggest to you it will occur if this is nothing more than a title to be worn. As in our studies of the deacons, as we pointed out, it's not a title. It's a description. It's a description of these three men. They are ministers or servants who are being entrusted with specific responsibilities that they must see to an end and that they will see to a completion, because they're not only available to do the work that is needed, but they are dependable to complete the work that is needed. They're not only men of availability and dependability, but they are also men of mobility. Mark, the 16th chapter, is probably a familiar passage to many of you, the 15th verse where Jesus is talking to his apostles, and he says to them there to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go. They were given a task. They were given a purpose to fulfill, an apostolic purpose that they were to fulfill. And it involved their going, of their being mobile, of their doing what the Lord was entrusting them with doing. Someone has said that Jesus said, go, but the favorite song of many is, I shall not be moved. And I would suggest to you once again that sitting and not going and doing the task that is put within our hands is something that will occur easily for those who think of a deacon as nothing more than a title. But for those who think of it as a responsibility that is entrusted to them, who think of it as being descriptive of someone who can be trusted with a task, those who think of it in that sense will indeed be those who will go and who will do. Yeah, I mean, you think about that passage back in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and the description of those individuals who were in this particular household, who were heads of their father's household, who could be entrusted with the work of the service of the house of God. Do you think that didn't involve them getting up and doing something that needed to be done? Of course it did. And they were the kind of individuals who could be entrusted with that. Again, I ask you to think about some of the servants of God in times past and how they were committed to going, to being mobile, to do what was needed to be done. Moses, for instance, was willing to go from Midian to Egypt to do God's bidding. Amos was willing to go from the hills of Tekoa to the kingdom of Israel. David was willing to go from the pastures of Judah to the palace. Philip was willing to go from the city to the desert. John the Baptist was willing to go from the desert to the city to do the bidding of God. They were individuals who would get up and who would do. And that's exactly what these three men should be expected to do. Now they need to have a clear, as in all of those cases that I mentioned to you, Moses and David and so on, all of those had a clear definition of what was expected, what the Lord wanted them to do. God told Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. David was told, I want you to be the king. Philip was told, I want you to go and find this Ethiopian nobleman out in the desert somewhere and preach to him. John the Baptist was told, I want you to get up and leave the desert and go to the city, and I want you to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of their Lord. There was a clear definition of what they were expected to do so that they could get up and they could go and they could do it. And that's what these three men deserve. They deserve a clear definition, as do all of those who serve as deacons, a clear definition of what they are expected to do. Here's the job. Here's the work. I mean, that's the only way to be fair about expecting them to be the kind of men who will get up and go do, is if you make it clear to them what they're expected to do. And they are, as we've discussed in our previous studies, they are, because they are men who are available for the work, they are dependable in character, and so they ought to be allowed to do the work. We need to get out of the way and let them do the work. And finally, I would suggest to you that these are men of stability. That's just a universal character of being someone who could be relied upon to be one who would be devoted to the service of the house of God. It's just part and parcel of the character of such a person to be an individual who is stable. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, Paul tells his brethren, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. That's standing firm. That's stability. That's being one who can be counted upon to do his or her part in the spiritual battle that we're involved in. It's a spiritual battle. Not off in some distant future, but here and now. And it requires those who will stand firm and stand fast in the capacities that they can so that they might do service for the house of God. These three men have been deemed as suitable, as fitting persons to entrust with the responsibilities of being a deacon. And that means that they know how to stand, and they know where to stand. Yeah, there's a lot of people in the scriptures who got into a good deal of trouble because they were standing in the wrong place. Samson was in the wrong place when he lost his strength. Jonah was in the wrong place when he ended up in the belly of the whale. Peter was in the wrong place when he denied Jesus. You and I won't be able to stand for the Lord unless we know where to stand. And these individuals that we have counted as being stable, enough so that they can be entrusted with these obligations, have demonstrated that they know how to stand, and they know where to stand. And as a result, they can be counted on to do service in the house of God. Let it be our prayer that they, as well as the others who serve in this capacity, will do so to the glory of God and to the service of God's people. Are you not a Christian? Are you one who's never obeyed the gospel of the Lord so that you might be among those who would be recognized today as the house of God, those who comprise the house of God or the family of God or the temple of God? The images are numerous. But all of them speak to the fact that God has a distinct people that are His. They are His because God called them to become His. And they answered His call. They chose to respond to the call that He has issued in His gospel. Have you never done that? Then why don't you today give your obedience to that gospel? Respond to the call that God makes through that gospel. And number yourself among those who comprise the house of God. And then serve. Serve the house of God in the capacities that you become able to do so. If you're subject to His invitation, we encourage you to come to Him in obedience while we stand and sing.